Welcome to Illinois in Focus. I'm Greg Bishop. Coming up, we'll review the week's top stories about the Chicago Bears' proposal for a new lakeside domed stadium complex and possible taxpayer cost, and the back and forth over the ongoing non-citizen migrant crisis. I'll then join the Center Square's Dan McCaleb to further discuss those stories and more. That's ahead with Illinois in Focus. I'm Greg Bishop.
Attention parents, teachers, and taxpayers. Do you care about the decisions being made in K-12 public education? Do you want to know how those decisions impact your students and school district? Chalkboard News has you covered. We're delivering fact-based reporting on the policies that shape school safety, curriculum, and recovery from learning loss. At Chalkboard News, we're cutting through the politics and focusing on the facts behind the issues impacting students, teachers, and families. Get this news delivered to your inbox for free by signing up at chalkboardnews.com.
Welcome back to Illinois in Focus. I'm Greg Bishop. Here are some of the top stories from the past week. The Chicago Bears released plans to build a new stadium complex, but it'll come with a hefty price. Kevin Bessler reports.
The team is planning to build a state-of-the-art dome lakefront stadium near the current stadium. The Bears are asking for the cost, projected to be around $4.7 billion, to be covered by a combination of public and private funding. Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson says the stadium complex could host numerous events,
including Chicago Public School championships, graduations, major concerts, Final Fours, Big Ten championships, my next inauguration. I don't know. We just keep adding to it.
To make the plan a reality, the Bears want the Illinois General Assembly to approve $1.5 billion in new bonding for the Illinois Sports Facilities Authority. House Speaker Chris Welch says the request would have little chance.
If we were to put this issue on the board for a vote right now, it would fail, and it would fail miserably. There's no environment for something like this today.
The Bears said they'd provide over $2 billion for the project, which they said would cover over 70% of the costs. I'm Kevin Bessler.
While Governor J.B. Pritzker contends southern states are creating chaos by sending non-citizen migrants to Illinois, a Republican state senator says Pritzker is gaslighting taxpayers. Monday, Pritzker was asked about the ongoing migrant crisis. He said the problem is leaders in Texas sending migrants to the state unannounced.
Why do they do that? Because they want to cause chaos. We have managed to rein it in so that it's not chaos.
Republican State Senator Jason Plummer responded, saying the state's policies of not enforcing immigration law, offering taxpayer-subsidized Cadillac health care and other services make Illinois the largest magnet for non-citizen migrants in the country.
Why are they in places like this? Because we've invited them. To pretend that there's any rhyme or reason or structure or organization is the governor just once again gaslighting the people of Illinois.
Plummer said some estimates are taxpayers are on the hook for upwards to $2 billion in cost. He also raised concerns about the humanitarian impact from people being trafficked, raped, and abused, and the continued flood of fentanyl into the country. Those are the top stories from the past week from Illinois. Find more online at thecentersquare.com. Coming up for Illinois in Focus, I'll join the Center Square's Dan McCaleb to further discuss the news. This is Illinois in Focus, a production of America's Talking Network. I'm Greg Bishop.
Knowledge is power, and you deserve to know what happens in your state government. That's why the Center Square's reporting zeroes in on state authorities publishing stories that show where your money goes and who spends it. The Center Square gives power to the taxpayer by tracking politicians' use of the people's money and demanding transparency from state-run agencies. This is how the Center Square equips you, the American taxpayer, to hold your state government accountable. Sign up now for your state Center Square newsletter at thecentersquare.com.
Welcome back to Illinois in Focus, powered by the Center Square. I'm Dan McCaleb, Chief Content Officer at Franklin News Foundation, publisher of the Center Square Newswire service. We are recording this on Thursday, April 25th. The Chicago Bears and their owners, the McCaskey family, are again asking taxpayers to help fund a stadium project, this time to build a new domed stadium and surrounding complex on the lakefront near Sword Soldier Field. The price tag for the stadium and complex project is about $4.7 billion, according to the Bears, of which the Bears say they'd pay about $2 billion. Governor J.B. Pritzker and other legislative leaders say they aren't in support of this project as of now, at least. Joining me today to discuss this is Greg Bishop, the Center Square's Illinois Associate Editor. Greg, the Bears released their version of what the project would entail and cost at a Wednesday news conference. Why don't we start there? Tell us about it.
Yeah, so the presentation featured a lot of different renderings of what this proposed property will look like, and also that it'll be a multi-use property. So, of course, you've got the domed stadium on the complex. They're also going to have a lot of more green space and different types of facilities for the community to use. So the plan altogether would be to have it on the lakeside in Chicago with the skyline in the background. Looks beautiful, but as you said, legislative leaders and Governor J.B. Pritzker already pushing back, saying this does not look like a good deal for taxpayers as it is right now. So it was interesting because during the Wednesday news conference with the Chicago Bears, where they had officials lay out the proposal, they even had Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson as part of the featured speakers, and the city of Chicago is in full support of this proposal. Dan, this may be because, if you recall, not long ago, the Chicago Bears were actually looking at the old Arlington racetrack as where they could possibly place in Arlington Heights, a Bears complex.
Right, so maybe this outside of Chicago, right. Understood.
Outside of Chicago. Yeah. So you had Chicago city officials there with the Bears touting this new proposal that they want to keep it in Chicago with all kinds of different community-type space that would be utilized there. But Mayor Johnson made a quip that they're looking to have graduations, high school competitions, big concerts, NCAA Final Fours, and he joked even his next inauguration with a little laughter. But Mayor Johnson also said that there would be no tax increase associated with this. However, there would be a substantial amount of tax dollars used, and that's where we're really seeing some of the pushback from legislative leaders, from Senate President Don Harmon, who said he's skeptical. House Speaker Chris Emmanuel Welch said that if they were to put this on the board today to vote on it, it would fail miserably, I think is the direct quote. You also have Governor J.B. Pritzker saying he's skeptical and it doesn't look like a good deal for taxpayers. So how this thing comes together, Dan, and having covered the state legislature for 10 years now, we're in the tail end of session, of spring session. The budget's top of mind, and they have until May 31st to pass the budget and any legislation with simple majorities. May 31st, after that date, they have to have super majorities to pass anything. So now we've got this proposal from the Bears working in. As a reporter, I'll just tell you, I'm a little worried that we could see details of this thing come together at one of those 3 o'clock run of midnight type of session days. So you got to imagine that a lot of the particulars of this could change drastically before the end of May and before the end of spring session. But Dan, the Bears aren't the only Chicago team looking for some public assistance. You've got the White Sox and some others. So there's a lot of competition here for a limited amount of tax dollars. And that's not even considering the arguments of those who say no tax dollars should be used for private professional sports complexes.
Greg, I hear you when it comes to how the Illinois legislature works. It shouldn't be a shock to anybody if some sort of a plan comes together at the last minute. Nobody sees it until they're ready to pass it. But this is a little bit different in that Governor J.B. Pritzker has vocally said that he opposes the plan or the use of taxpayer dollars for this plan. Senate President Don Harmon also has said the same thing. So it seems to me that that would be a stretch. But why don't we get into some of the taxes here? As I understand it, taxpayers, the Chicago still owes more than $600 million on the last renovation of Soldier Field. That's largely paid for by a 2% hotel tax. Now, if you remember, during COVID-19, there was no tourism. Tourism ended. Hotels were largely closed. So there was a good year and a half there when this 2% tax wasn't getting collected, at least not near to the levels of what a normal year would be like. And because of that, this $600 million that is still owed on the renovations to the current Soldier Field, That's grown bigger than from day one because the Chicago hasn't been able to pay off its obligations. Now the Bears want to extend that, want the General Assembly to approve a $1.5 billion new bond issue for the Illinois Sports Facilities Authority. I just don't see that getting approved, not by the end of this session, but that's one person's opinion. I'd like to hear you on that.
Yeah, it's a tall ask, no question. And you've got the hotel taxes that they're going to dip into. They say they're not going to increase any taxes, but regardless, they're going to seemingly increase the burden that taxpayers would be put on the hook for in the long run to cover, you know, the debt service on this. But the Bears, they say that only about 28% of the overall $4+ billion plan would be paid for by tax dollars. But then you get into the infrastructure costs, Dan, and that's something else that has to be included in this, because that area on the lakefront by where they are hoping to build this domed facility, this campus, you're going to have to rework a whole bunch of the infrastructure around there. And you have even the Chicago City officials that were there at the news conference talking about not just city tax dollars for infrastructure, but also talking about state and federal tax dollars for the infrastructure that would assist this particular project. So clearly there's going to be a lot to be said in the final weeks of the legislative session, as this is just another major story that could come to fruition by the time it's all said and done. And the Bears officials, they were asked if this could possibly wait until fall veto session. That could be sometime in November, maybe after the general election. And they pushed back and said, no, the time is right now, because if they wait until the fall to get approval on this, then they're missing a construction season, and then the costs could balloon even more for a new facility. So all of this to say that there's still a lot of uncertainty on how or if this moves forward. And I bet those organizers in Arlington Heights are eyeing this very closely. And I can imagine they're probably keeping the door open.
Greg, let's move on to other legislative matters. As we've said, it's already near the end of April, with legislative session ending at the end of May, and there has still not been movement on extending what is now the expired Invest in Kids School Choice Scholarship Program. Tell us what's going on in the legislature and how supporters of the scholarship program, which essentially gives donations or allows people to donate private dollars to the Invest in Kids scholarship program to give to lower income children whose families cannot afford private school, to send them to a school of their choice because their local public school is failing them. Where are we at with Invest in Kids, which expired December 31st?
Yeah, and according to the American Federation for Children, the final year of the Invest in Kids School Choice Scholarship Program, they had 15,000 students, making it a significant increase from prior years. And keep in mind, I mean, this thing had a cap on it. So you could only have, I believe, up to $150 million donated. And all the private donors that did donate over the several years that this program was in place never really got to that cap ever. So it was never fully utilized. And a lot of the recipients say that their students now are lingering with a lot of uncertainty. I ran into a family at the State House who are from the Peoria area. Darnell Starks has two grandchildren that are taking part in this program. And he said that they're concerned because it's not been renewed. And without it, they're not going to be able to continue going to the school of their choice that's helping their children ultimately get a higher quality education. And again, this scholarship does not just go to anybody. It goes to families that are of the most need. Right. And it gives that private donor, not tax dollars, it gives that private donor a 75% Illinois income tax credit. So you've got the heartache of people trying to get this program brought back up. But Dan, as closely as I watch the legislature, there's been no public conversation about restarting this program at all. They did have a couple of weeks ago in a Senate Revenue Committee. They discussed all kinds of tax credits. They looked at a tax credit for the music industry. State Senator Sarah Feigenholz, she said that after the pandemic, musicians really need the help. There's also a tax credit that they're evaluating for 25% tax credit on charitable contributions to community foundations. Feigenholz said that they could definitely benefit from it, and it would be a lifeline if people got a tax credit for donating to community foundations. Even a tax credit being proposed to allow for community foundations to pay for student employees' student loan debt. So clearly there's a lot of conversation about tax credits at the Illinois State House, but there's been no conversation about revisiting or re-upping the Invest in Kids School Choice Scholarship tax credit. So interesting to see some of the priorities. But again, as watching the legislature, anything can happen in these final few weeks. We'll definitely be keeping people updated on the play-by-play at thecentersquare.com.
Greg, I think it's just one final pointer. I think it's important to note that teachers unions, particularly the Chicago Teachers Union, but teachers unions across the state oppose these scholarship programs, these school choice programs, saying it would take money away from public schools. But you and I both know, because we've been covering Illinois for a long time, that Illinois spends among the most on schools in the state, and the amount of tax revenue that's gone to education, primary and secondary education across Illinois, has gone up each year since they passed a new school funding law about 10 years ago or so. So it's teachers unions who largely fund Democrat lawmakers' campaigns are putting pressure on lawmakers, and maybe that's why we're not seeing any advancement. Greg, let's move on to another topic here. Of course, we've talked extensively about the migrant crisis in Chicago for well over a year. Now migrants are still arriving from the southern U.S. border in Chicago. It's become a big issue for what to do with them, how to provide service for them, a big taxpayer issue for them, because certainly in the, it's cost Illinois taxpayers in the hundreds of millions of dollars, might even be past the $1 billion mark now. Pritchard was asked this week about the ongoing migrant crisis. He blamed Texas, the state of Texas, which, of course, he has done in the past. But he also said that it's not chaos, as detractors would say. Tell us a little bit about the back and forth between him and some state lawmakers.
Yeah, so the governor was just simply asked about the state's sanctuary state policies, and he pushed back on that question, saying he's never used that term, and he apologizes if he did. But he talked about the Trust Act, which essentially says the state's local and state law enforcement can't assist federal immigration authorities to enforce immigration law if that's the only infraction an individual has against them. So he talked about that. But then he also said that there was, quote, hysteria he sees on social media of people who have concerns about this, and particularly concerns that Chicago may send non-citizen migrants from outside the Windy City to other places throughout the state. Pritzker pushed back and said that's not going to happen. It hasn't happened. It will not happen, he says. But he went on to talk about how the migrants are here legally as asylum seekers, and talked about how the state is using resources to, you know, provide shelter and even legal resources to give these asylum seekers, as he says, access to attorneys with their asylum claim, and even access to attorneys to help with any kind of job permission they need to get in order to work. So the governor, you know, he essentially just answered a question and provided a lot of different takes there. But I asked State Senator Jason Plummer to react, and in particular to the hysteria comment. And Plummer said that the governor's gaslighting Illinoisans. And he says that the governor's typical response to critics is to, downplay them or to, as Plummer suggested, insult them. And they're just legitimate questions that Plummer says taxpayers want answers to. And Plummer also pushed back and said that these individuals here as non-citizen migrants are not all here for good. He says that there's Venezuelan gangs that you see stories about. There's criminal activity that you see stories about. And he really just didn't take the governor's word that they're all here seeking legitimate asylum. Bottom line, though, yes, the taxpayer cost more than $1 billion. When you include the housing, the food, the education, the lawyers, the as Senator Plummer says, Cadillac health care plans that taxpayers pay for non-citizens in this state, part of those programs, he says that those things really make Illinois a magnet for non-citizen migrants coming to the state, and that Texas is in a tough spot, and there's really nowhere else for them to move these non-citizen migrants, and that the Democrats' policies in Illinois, New York, California are really attracting those migrants. But Plummer said it's not just the costs, it's not just the numbers of migrants, it's the humanitarian crisis as well. He talked about human trafficking, the abuse that happens, the violence that happens, the fentanyl that's coming across the border, and that people crossing the border illegally are sometimes being forced to carry. So the humanitarian crisis, Plummer said, is evil. And he really criticizes the governor for not having a solid plan to actually address this.
Yeah, this issue is one that's not going away anytime soon. Listeners can keep up with all of our ongoing coverage of the migrant crisis at thecentersquare.com. But moving on to one final story, Greg, many of our listeners might be aware that the Democratic National Convention will be in Chicago in August this summer. That's where they officially nominate their presidential candidate. All indications are it will be Joe Biden. But what's also expected to happen at the convention this summer is all kinds of protests. I'm sure you've seen, I'm sure our listeners have seen, many times violent, oftentimes violent protests across the country related to the Israel-Hamas war. We expect those kinds of protests in Chicago this summer. But Prisker was asked about it this week, and he says we'll be ready.
Yeah, he was on national TV, and this issue came up and said that the state is ready, though previously he had pushed back and said the state really doesn't have a role in the security. But he seems to be indicating that, the gatherings are going to be allowed to happen. But he wants to make sure that the convention delegates and the participants of the convention have the right to get to the convention without being blocked or harassed or yelled at. But the city of Chicago, they've got their hands full. They're going to be working with, of course, city police and even the Secret Service and other law enforcement agencies to set up secure zones around the convention center and McCormick Place. But when you have a disparate array of demonstrations expected, because Dan, you highlight, it's not just those who may be angry and demonstrating against what's happening in the Middle East. You've got others who are angry at the Democrats for the migrant crisis. You've got the black residents in Chicago who've been pretty vocal at city council meetings, and indication is that they could possibly be setting up demonstrations as well. Plus, all the other issues that there may be, even the ACLU of Illinois saying there could be people there to protest about tax policy, or people there to protest about abortion or reproductive rights or LGBTQ or whatever the issue is. There's going to be a lot of demonstrations, and the question of whether or not those individuals are going to be able to exercise their First Amendment rights peacefully, assemble and have their voice heard, if they're relegated to these zones, these different sectors, then their voice might not get to the intended target of the delegates heading into the convention. So this is going to be an interesting balancing act of ensuring that, you know, the individual's rights on both sides of this are upheld, the ability to assemble and speak, but also the ability to freely move and head to a convention. Indication is that there's going to be a lot of intelligence on the ground, a lot of bodies on the ground, a lot of security apparatus. But I don't think anybody wants to see what happened back in 1968 at the Chicago Democratic National Convention that we all learned about in school, and some of us actually saw unfold live on TV.
Greg, might be a good time to let our listeners know that the Center Square, along with our partners, Advanced Digital Media and Blue Room Stream, will be at the Democratic National Convention in Chicago this summer. So we'll have plenty more to talk about the convention as the weeks pass by. Greg, thank you for joining us. Listeners can keep up with the story and more at thecentersquare.com.